Israel, Amin Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program is brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is Milton Wayne's folktale adaptation, The Wandering of the Little Melody. Featured as Reb Dudala, the narrator is Alexander Scorby. Modest phrases you just heard played and sung introduce the modest hero of our story. For all stories, great or little, and no matter what they tell of, all stories have a hero. Our story, then, is no exception. Speaking in its own person is the hero of our story. For the hero of our story is a melody. But stories need words, even if only a few. And since our hero is wordless, I, your humble servant, Dudale the red-bearded, Hasid in the city of Tauna in the province of Kiev, I shall attempt to supply the words. To make a beginning, it was during the visit to my home of that pious man, Reb Naftali, a Polish Hasid.
To have pride in one's birth city is understandable, Reb Dudale.
Well, the pride is also merited.
And what is there so remarkably special about the songs you sing here in the city of Tallna?
Reb Naftali, my friend. You Hasidim of Poland are as wise and as pious as men anywhere in the world.
You do us much honor.
Yet it is a sad but demonstrable truth that you Polish Hasidim do not know how to sing.
So? Or might it be that the ears of Tallna are not sensitive enough to capture our melodies?
Why should we quarrel with the world's judgment? Here in the province of Kiev, here is where they sing. Among us, there's not a house without a fiddle or a clarinet.
Yet to have a bird in a cage does not mean that the owner possesses the bird's song.
True. But, you should hear the sounds that come from our town.
Sounds?
Sounds.
What sounds do you mean? Sounds of a good wife chopping fish in a wooden bowl? The sounds of the Rebbe blowing his nose in cheder? The sounds of an old wagon on a frozen road? Do you mean those sounds?
Yes, if the sounds join into a melody. For just as separate stones are piled one on top of another and made into a house, so the melody is no longer a combination of sounds. It is now a living body with a soul, and the soul is the heart of man. His love, his anger, his grace, his pity, his mercy. And like all living things, a melody lives and dies and passes away from the world and is forgotten. But sometimes the melody that was thought dead comes to life again. The melody returns and awakens. And a new feeling, a new soul is put into it by him who sings or plays it. And he renews its youth. And thus the cycle goes on, over and over again. A new creation, a new melody. Enough of theorizing. There's a story that can speak much better than I. It is the story of the wandering of a melody. In the city of Makhmovka, not far from Bergichev, there was a group of fine musicians.
But the best of all of us is that little man Chaim. He is a plain Jew with a wife and children and very poor. But he's really an excellent klezmer.
Good composer, I take it.
No, he's not a composer. That is, he can't create new tunes. But he has a very great special talent. Very great.
And in what does this great talent lie?
In stories, in explaining a melody. Actually, he takes a melody and translates it into the human tongue. He has such a talent that it frightens me. Now look at him there, how small and frail he is. But when he puts the clarinet to his lips, he's a different man. His long eyebrows straighten, his eyes glisten, his face shines. You begin to feel that he himself is not here, that his soul has gone up to heaven.
When he comes back to Earth, what does he do?
He waits.
What for?
For a wedding of a rich couple. And on that expectation, he lives on credit.
After such a rich wedding?
He pays all his bills and goes on living on credit.
A pair of shoes, please, Reb Moshe.
On credit?
Only a very small pair for my youngest. On credit.
And what are you waiting for these days?
Didn't you hear? A wedding which will take place, with the help of God, in the home of the widow of Beryl Katzner.
Beryl's widow? So soon?
No, the daughter, Hannah. It will be a very big wedding.
Why not? That heart of stone left almost half a million.
More than half a million, they say.
So more than a half million. And all his life he begrudged even the piece of bread he ate and the water he drank. He lived poor and was buried rich. He'd stand up in his grave if he knew they were spending his money for a wedding.
I haven't been home all day. The shoes, Reb Moshe.
The shoes. Oh, yes. You may have the shoes on credit.
Thank you.
And for such a rich wedding, perhaps even a new pair of shoes for yourself, Reb Chaim.
Esther, please don't cry. Look, two pairs of shoes I got for Moshe. One pair for the child and one for you. Look, Esther.
You must take them back. We can't have them.
But why not? What happened?
That's Velville.
Velville? What is there to ask Velville?
I just heard.
Oh, Velville. I didn't see you when I came in. What did you hear?
The bad news.
What bad news. Tell me what.
Believe me, it was like thunder struck me when I heard.
What? What did you hear?
We are not going to play at the wedding.
Huh?
The widow Katzner is hiring Yossel from Berdiche.
Yossel is a good musician. He was once my teacher, but why should they send for him when we're already here?
Because she says people are coming to the wedding from the big city of Kiev. And besides...
Well, what else is there? Tell me, what else?
Your clarinet and my fiddle aren't enough. Because Yossel has promised, especially for the wedding, to write a new melody.
When they heard the news, it was like thunder struck every person in that little town. For everyone loved Reb Chaim, and they were all proud of his playing. Like a storm, they descended upon the house of the widow Katzner, and for hours they protested the injustice to Reb Chaim. To all of them.
This must be settled. Now, once and for all, this must be settled.
Please, I'm a poor widow, alone in this world. Why do you begrudge me the joy of seeing my only daughter married?
We all wish you long life and happiness. But why did you hire Yossel from Berdichev instead of our own Reb Chaim?
I told you, Reb Labe, the guest. Coming from Kiev.
Our Reb Chaim would not put you to shame if your guests came from Vienna or Budapest or London even.
But look, I have told you before. Reb Chaim is as dear to me as my own brother would be. But he can't compose a tune.
1,000 tunes he has in his clarinet, and she needs still a new one.
Not for myself, but for my husband. May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace.
But I still don't understand.
It's for his memory that Yossel promised to write a new tune for the prayer in memory of the dead, El Mole Rachamim, Father of compassion and mercy.
But it isn't a question of a choice, a new tune or Reb Chaim. You can have both.
Both? How? How can I have both?
Reb Chaim will go to Berdiche, to this same Yossel who used to be his teacher. And he will ask Yossel for a new tune. And he will bring it back here to be chanted at the wedding.
Good, good, good.
As we all know, Reb Chaim is a very poor man. Now, if you give him the money for the journey, he will go.
So I will give him the money.
Reb Chaim went to Berdiche. But nothing comes easy to the poor. Otherwise, perhaps, there would be no poor. And when Reb Chaim arrived in Berdiche, he found that Yossel had just left to play in the city of Talna. Now, what could he do? He couldn't return home without a melody, for he promised on his word of honor to bring back one of Yossel's. And to go on to Talna was impossible, for he'd given most of the travel money to his wife. And so Reb Chaim walked sadly about the streets of Berdiche.
And so, Reb Chaim, what happened then?
Huh? What, Velva?
I said, what happened then?
Oh, forgive me. Where was I?
You were walking about the streets of Berdiche.
Oh, yes, yes. And there, suddenly I saw a woman. She was dressed in the beautiful clothes of the Sabbath. And in her hand she carried a large silver plate. Behind the woman came a procession of musicians. And the woman sang to the tune the musicians played.
And the silver plate, what was that for?
But to catch the coins the people were throwing.
Oh.
Every time she caught a coin, she cried, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. For this was a collection for a poor girl of the town who wanted to get married, but didn't have the money for a wedding.
It was a good deed.
They are good people.
But the melody you were supposed to get from Yossel, where is it?
Here, in my head.
But where did you get it?
That Mazel Tov melody the woman sang and the musicians played, that was one of Reb Yossel's. When I heard it, my eyes began to glow like hot coals.
Hand me your fiddle. I'll show you. A melody like I'd never heard in my life. Laughs and cries in one breath. Pain, joy, fear, and hope. The pouring out of the soul. Everything in the same melody. And so it goes on. We'll have it ready for the wedding tomorrow night. Well, what do you think?
It is everything you have said, but it's not what the widow wants.
Why not?
It's too happy. She wants a tune for the cantor to sing at the ceremony in memory of her husband.
That's no reason for worry, Velvel. The widow will have her tune.
So Reb Chaim took his clarinet and went off by himself. He played through the Mazel Tov tune a few times, and then the melody, which is the hero of this story, began to change. It changed into a plea to the Father of compassion and mercy. The happy melody changed and became one of short and deep sighs, of a man confessing the sins of all his life, beating his breast over every sin and entrusting his soul to the Lord of hosts. Finally, the melody became a consolation. There is a God on earth, a living and a kind God. He hath given and he hath taken. Blessed be his name. That night at the wedding, Reb Chaim played the melody on his clarinet, and the guests who came from Kiev to the marriage of the daughter of the widow Katzner had tears in their eyes, but no praise for the musician.
For whom, Reb Chaim? For whom was such a beautiful melody?
For Beryl Katzner, of course. May he rest in peace.
A golden melody for old Beryl the miser. If he were here at the wedding, do you think his daughter would be wearing silks and jewels? Play another tune so we can all dance.
The widow sent me all the way to Berdiche for this one. It's not necessary to play any other.
But we want to dance now. Do you understand?
I understand. Velvin, I'll start, then you join in.
And as was the custom, the beggars of the town, the poor, the crippled, and the blind, came to the wedding and mingled with the guests from Kiev. The beggars ate and drank and danced, and sadly shared in a joy that was not their own. And among these guests was a stranger to the town, a young and pretty child, small and thin and pale-faced. She ate little and spoke to no one, for she was very shy. She sat in a corner near the two musicians,
And with her ears, her eyes, her whole being, she drank in the melody Reb Chaim was playing. And when, late in the wedding, Reb Chaim looked for her, she was gone.
Velvo? Where is she? Where did she go?
Who?
That little girl with the hunger in her eyes. She sat over there in the corner.
The one that came with the beggars?
Just the child. Who is she?
Reb Shmuel said he saw her with a gypsy circus in Berdiche. The scoundrels must have stolen her, and then they abandoned her.
Pity. Perhaps she will come back. Perhaps the widow Katzner will take her into her house. We must find her.
It would be a great good deed.
Come, musicians, play. We want to dance.
Are you ready, Velvo?
But that evening, the young girl left the town of Makhmovka and wandered on the road to the next town and through the towns after that one. She was too shy to ask for alms, so she ate whatever she could find in the fields. And there, too, she slept. Until one day...
But where did she come from? Who is she?
I heard a knock on our door and her pitiful voice singing weakly. When I opened the door... She was lying there in a faint and burning with fever.
But who is she?
The poor child is half-starved. What could I do but take her in?
To whom can the poor turn except to others who are poor?
She's probably an orphan. More is the pity on her. Well, Jacob.
Until she gets well, we must give her a bed.
Yes, Jacob. Until she gets well.
After many days, the girl got up from the sick bed and left the home of Rezla and Jacob. She went on her way, begging for a piece of bread. She was shy and didn't speak, but stretched out her hand and sang the melody she remembered, the melody Reb Chaim played at the wedding in Makhmovka. Now, the melody was a plea. The bad people stole me, it said, and have broken my life. Please have pity on a poor orphan. Please have mercy. She wandered on thus for many days and many miles, and she came to a town where there was a very learned scholar who sat all day and studied the word and the law of God. He never went out of his house so that he would lose no time from his study. And once the girl came to his house. She knocked softly on the door and sang her melody, asking for a piece of bread. But the learned man refused to go to the door, for he would be stealing time from his study. He put his hands over his ears. But the song crept under his fingers. Then he could stand it no longer. He rose and flung open the window.
Get away, shameless one! Get away from this house!
The girl went on her way, and the scholar returned to his book. But now there was something that came between him and his book. A melody pulled his eyes from the page and his mind from the words he sought so hard to study.
David, what shall I do?
You must forget that beggar girl.
Forget her song.
Haven't I tried and tried, but it keeps ringing in my ears by day and by night.
Yeah, but more than a week has gone by now.
Time alone will not wash out the sin I've committed. For I've been uncharitable toward a fellow being.
Then come to the synagogue this Sabbath. The illustrious Reb Dovidel arrived here this morning. He asked that you come and sing for him. Perhaps then you will be whole again.
I have no voice or heart to sing. And even if this were the day of atonement, my sin would not be removed. For only sins against God are forgiven. Sins against man are not forgiven unless the one offended has first been reconciled. All my study has been barren, for it was only for myself. And if I am only for myself, what am I? Now I must leave this house. Oh,
but please, Reb Dovidel has asked for you.
When I have found that girl, when I have brought her back to a home and kindness, then I shall return to the synagogue and I shall sing.
Three Sabbaths passed, and on the fourth, the scholar returned to the synagogue. There he stood before the pious of the town at the time of the third meal of the Sabbath, and he sang a new melody. He sang the melody of the orphan girl. Those who listened felt their hearts grow warm. From that moment, the melody became their own. And thus, after long wandering, the little melody which is the hero of this story returned once again to the holiness in which it was born.
Today's radio play was a folktale adaptation written by Milton Wayne. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Cadens. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. The role of Reb Dudela, the narrator, was played by Alexander Scourby, and Reb Heim by Joe DeSantis. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations, and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.